Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking with Meredith about the best uses of technology in fitness for seniors. Are you ready to do this, Meredith?
I'm ready.
All right, great. We'll see you guys on the inside. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us on the Senior Fitness Podcast with Meredith. We're really, really happy you're here today. We are diving into some of the best uses of technology in fitness. This is kind of a fun topic. But before we do that, we just want to invite you to swing by our website, seniorfitnesswithmeredith.com. Check out all the latest and greatest content we have there, including our latest podcasts. All of our exercise videos, our growing library of videos there, as well as a chance to sign up for our newsletter, which comes out once a week. And in it, we have all of our latest and greatest content. So we invite you to check that out when you get a chance. So today's topic, we are talking about the best uses of technology in fitness for seniors.
Yes.
Now, the technology market overall has very much exploded, would you say?
Oh, yes, over the past few years, but especially since COVID, I feel like it's become something that I would say even seniors, everyone is using it in some way, in different ways, of course, we'll bring up. But I think it's become just a part of our lives, not something that we look at as a future thing anymore. So, yeah, definitely. It's an everyday use type of thing. Technology in our lives in the means of fitness in some way.
Right. Yeah. 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 Overall, in general, I mean, technology is just blown up.
Of course.
And,
yeah.
And the fitness industry is part of that a technology takeover, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
whether you want it or not.
Per usual, we'd like to pick your brain about, you know, a lot of the experiences you've had and a lot of the clients you've worked with over the years. Even though this whole market of tech has been growing steadily over the past, you know, 10, 15 years,
right,
at least for fitness, what were kind of some of the things you used to hear when working with clients about using technology, whether it be like, you know, using a wrist tracker,
right,
to using maybe a fancy new treadmills that they got out there now?
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
What kind of feedback did you hear?
Yeah, in the beginning, I think a lot of the residents that I would speak with about it, they were put off by it, didn't want to learn something new, didn't want to have to deal with another electronic that just wasn't going to work properly, that they had to, again, learn a whole nother learning curve on top of it. That's when I'm thinking a while back when pedometers and then any of those, not even smartwatches, those weren't really a big thing even then, but you could still wear them on your wrist and it would count your steps, different things like that. So those were around, but then even like you said, some of the recumbent bikes, the treadmills that they were using just had more and more technology being added to them. And it was off-putting in a sense that they just didn't want to have to learn new things. They liked the way it was. Over time, I think it became something more. You get used to things over time, basically, right? It becomes a part of your life. You assimilate to the things around you. And I think that's what happened. And then the more people that got these devices, the more curious others were. Therefore, it became a little bit more accepting. Maybe it's not that difficult to use. I guess maybe I can try. And you saw more and more people using pedometers, not being as nervous to use certain pieces of equipment, even being open to doing my workouts on their computer or trying to figure out how to put them on their smart TVs. I had a Fitbit at the time, and I know a lot of people are very curious about what that did. It was my smart watch, I guess you'd call it. That would tell how many steps and your heart rate and things like that, calories burned, things like that. And they got very curious about how that worked, if it was accurate, if it was useful, that type of thing. And you saw more and more people kind of opening up to it. I knew of one particular gentleman who always wore a heart rate monitor because he had issues with his heart, and it helped him keep his heart rate in a particular level. So he wore it all the time. So I thought that was interesting. But yeah, in the beginning, I think we're not just seniors. I think everyone, we're a little, not young people though, but we get a little weary of new stuff because we're just fine with what we have. But then once more and more people have it, or you might be going to a place, even in these communities, where the gyms would start to switch out some of the equipment and it became only new things with those features. And that's what you have to get used to. So, it just became, I think, a way of life and a part of life. So more accepting, like I said, and more curious and open to this challenge of learning something new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be kind of intimidating when you're introduced to something new technologically that can impact your life.
Yes, I'm not a big fan. But then once I do it and I learn how to do it safely and comfortably and I don't break anything, it's a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you can adapt to something like that and you find it's more importantly helpful to you,
right,
then that's kind of a win.
Yes.
In that column. So
definitely.
As far as the technologies, let's go through and talk about, when we say technology, what are we talking about? I mean, we're talking about, like we mentioned, Fitbit type devices, right?
Right. So those type of devices, which I'm guessing you'd call a smartwatch, right? So you have a Fitbit, or they have Apple Watches, Samsung, Garmin. I'm sure there's a ton out there of names that we can say that will range from having your heart rate and the number of steps you take. You can program it so it will tell you when you need to stand up and be active, how many calories you've burned, your oxygen levels. You can wear them when you sleep, and it will help track your sleeping patterns, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are quite elaborate, and you can do many, many other things on them. But the standard, I think, are that kind of your steps taken, your calories burned, when you're active, when you're not active, when you should be more active because you've been non-active for quite some time, that type of thing. And then, of course, the time is
right.
On that smartwatch.
That's like probably the last
the
function
last thing
you'd
anybody
use it for.
Uses. Yeah.
Actual time.
And then GPS, a lot of them have that, which is an awesome feature if you're using your watch as, I guess, if you're hiking or that type of thing, or maybe riding a bike or that type of thing. Yeah.
And also, you know, we could probably go right to the source, too, and say that your phone is probably the most common type of fitness
tracker
device that you can turn it into a fitness device if you download certain apps, right?
Yes. Most of them come with one already on there, and it will be your basic health, mainly if you're holding it all of the time. If it's on your body while you're moving, it will tell how many steps you do, and then you can program it to do a lot more if you want to. But again, it's on your phone. So a lot of times when you're doing certain workouts, you're not holding your phone, so it doesn't realize you're doing a workout at the time. That's where it's... It will falter, I guess, in that sense. But if you're going on walks and things and you have it in your pocket, it's great because it will tell you how many steps you have.
Mm-hmm.
So starting at that, I think I would say probably the phone would be the first thing. And then moving on to smartwatches, which pair with your phone or your computer, where you can look at everything more in depth. From not just the steps you're taking, but you can really take a look at the pattern, what you've been doing throughout the week, the month, the year, and see maybe where you're slacking on what days or maybe times of the year, or you just happen to notice that for some reason you're a little off. I wonder why. What's my step count these days versus before? And that's a great way to see what your progress is or maybe where you're lacking. And then it can be a great motivator as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as those, the combination of your phone and a peripheral, like a fitness device, a wrist thingy.
Right.
That seems to be the norm nowadays for a lot of people.
Right.
Who do use those devices.
Right. Who like to look at those numbers, mm-hmm. which a lot of people are number driven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in your experience in using this technology, is it easy to understand and figure out?
Yes. Well, that's where I think they've come such a long way. Where before you had to push different buttons on the device or go to different places, maybe on an app or on a web page to figure it out and pair everything and put in a ton of numbers. And now it's just basically put in a few things, depending on how in-depth you're getting with it, and go. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to use. They're all so easy to use, which I think is amazing for people of all ages. And that's what I think is the best when it's not just for young people, where a lot of technology is geared towards young people who aren't afraid of it because they've grown up with it. It's geared for everyone. Middle age, older adults, etc., mm-hmm. to feel comfortable using it, be able to get on these different interfaces of whatever kind, and see what they're looking for. Find it easily. And that's the number one thing. If we are having a hard time using something, or we can't find the number or the result that we're looking for, easy to give up and say, "I knew I didn't. This wasn't for me." But yeah, they've made them so that really is not a challenge.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think a lot of these tech companies have realized that if they want more customers and they want people to embrace their products,
right.
they have to make it easy to use.
Yes.
And that means easy to use for everybody.
Yes, exactly.
Whether you're young, not young.
Right.
to have it understandable and easy to read and figure mm-hmm. out is really key.
Yes.
Because it doesn't matter how fancy you get and how many statistics you can show, if the person's having a hard time figuring it out, it's just not going to matter.
Not going to work. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Did you have feedback from a lot of clients that you used to work with about this specific devices, these kinds of specific devices?
The ones who were really into their numbers would use them, and the feedback would be telling me their progress, usually. This is how many steps I take before 10 a.m., basically. Mm-hmm. I do a walk, and then I do this, and then I come to your class, and by this time I have 10,000 steps, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
It was mainly for those reasons. They wanted to see how far, how many steps they were taking per day. A lot of times we'll get feedback on people will say they wear their devices, and this is how many calories I burned during a specific workout, or how many steps our walk and cardio, indoor, of course, workout, how many steps I got and how many calories I burned. So that's always fun feedback to get from people on specific workouts as well, or even some of the HIIT workouts, the resistance training workouts.
Mm-hmm.
People like to share their results. At the same being for, ones I worked with, in different communities, they were normally the ones who were tried and true diehard type, who were up early and were moving basically all day until lunchtime, until maybe they took a little downtime and then went at it again.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah.
That whole idea of, counting your steps and having it tracked and looking at your numbers, is
right.
that, in your experience, is that motivating? Is that a best use?
That's what I would say is the best use for it. If mm-hmm. you, if it's a good motivator for you, and we have done a podcast on the 10,000 step rule kind of a thing, it's a great motivator to see how many steps you take per day, and how you feel when you're taking those steps, that type of thing. I think it's a great motivator for people who maybe are lacking a little bit and they're trying to start being more active, whether that's just intentional movement of walking around their homes or adding more steps to their daily life. I think it's a great way to look at it, because if you do 500 one day, why not try for 700 the next? Mm-hmm. And you feel good when you reach that, and you feel not only good mentally, but physically, you want to do more. So yeah, I think it's a great reason to use smartwatches for that reason, but even pedometers. Like, we have the 3D Fitbit that I'll wear through many of the workouts. I call it a piece of, you know, more old school technology, but mm-hmm. it is one, very easy to use, and it tells just that, how many steps you've taken throughout either the workout or the day, however you're wearing it. But it's a great motivator to see those numbers again, if that's where your motivation comes from. Mm-hmm. It's a great, yeah.
Yeah, the pedometer itself has been around for a while.
For a long time, right? Exactly. Yes.
The ones that we have now are just a little more fancy.
Right.
What would be kind of maybe the downside to using a wrist-type mm-hmm. tracker with your phone?
Right. Well, needing to have that, I guess, to put on all the time and wear it, making sure it's charged and it doesn't mm-hmm. run out of charge, and all the new latest and greatest, maybe, I don't know if they do updates on them, but if you need to make sure everything's updated properly and everything's synced and all of that type of stuff, I would say on the technology part, that's probably the downsides. The mm-hmm. downsides I'll always bring up are sometimes we get too in our heads with those numbers and those pieces of equipment, and we don't put it on, or we forget to wear it, and we do a workout, we feel like we didn't do the workout.
Right.
Or we see the numbers and they're not as high as they were the previous week, let's say, and then we get down on ourselves because we feel like we're not doing as much. So it can be a little mind struggle. So as long as it's not getting to that place with it, that's a whole nother podcast I'm sure we've done and can do. But yeah, as long as those numbers aren't messing with your quality of life, basically, and the value of your workouts, then it's okay.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and you don't want to get too caught up in the numbers and
right.
get too obsessed with it.
Yeah, right. They're fun to look at. I like to look at them as, in all respects of however you're using your, in this case, what we're talking about, the smartwatches and those numbers that are on there that you can get. Of course, mainly being the calories and the steps, because if you're using it for your heart rate and your oxygen levels, those are numbers that, yeah, you can look at in different ways. But making sure you look at those numbers as, again, maybe goals and guides of where you're at, where you're going, but not as the end all, and meaning you're not doing a good job.
Right. Let's jump over to some of the other kinds of tech products we had out there.
Yeah.
There's a big industry breakthrough of home gyms.
Right.
You know, like a lot of the Peloton equipment. Like
right. Nordotrack.
Yeah. The mirror. That kind of stuff.
Yes.
These are all technologies that have emerged in the past couple of years, especially during COVID.
Right.
What do you see as some of the best uses of this type of stuff? How can this type of equipment benefit you?
Yeah, I think those at-home pieces of equipment, like actual pieces that you step up and use, or you stand in front of and it tells you what to do, basically, not just putting on a Senior Fitness with Meredith workout, but actually using a piece of equipment. I think they can be, again, it goes back to that motivator. They can be a great motivator because I've never used one, but I know with like the Pelotons and the Nordotracks, they've got different programming. And say you want to do an outside walk, you can walk through the hills of wherever, basically, Switzerland, mm-hmm. if that's where you want to program it to show. So that can be really, really fun. Having someone guide you down a path while you're on that, or on a bike, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them can be class friendly, so it feels like you're in a class and you have someone kind of telling you, okay, now time to up it, go a little faster, if that's what you like. You like someone to push you,
yeah,
throughout your workout so you don't give up or you don't stop. So they can be great in that way. Downfalls, of course, there are pieces of equipment that take up space in your house. If you need that space, they'd be harder to have. You do have to pay, I think, for a lot of them, monthly fees. So not on top of paying for this piece of equipment, you then have to pay every month to keep it going, to make sure you get those programs. So I've heard those are some of the downfalls. But again, if it's something that you'll use and you've put a lot of energy into thinking about, will I use this? it can be worth the money and worth your while, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to say because a lot of this stuff is expensive,
can
be pretty pricey. I mean, a treadmill alone,
right,
if you want to get a treadmill, it's, you know, you're looking at $1,000 and up.
Yeah.
For a good one. And you want to have something that's safe.
One.
You don't
exactly
want to get a bad treadmill because
right,
that
could
result
be bad
in
for
injury.
You. Yeah.
So it's really hard to say, yeah, I'm going to commit to this $1,000 piece of equipment when you're not sure it's going to last for you.
Right.
Right.
That's exactly it. And that's where you have to think long and hard. Am I going to use this? Is the cost worth it? Is it safe for me to use? Just because your friend has one and they're loving it doesn't mean it's the best piece of equipment for you. Is it okay to get onto? Is it okay to get off of?
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at everything before making that investment. Because knowing that you can always sell it if you choose to after you've purchased it, but you're not going to get near what you paid for it. Just
right,
like a car. So be careful.
Yeah. How do you determine in this vast land of tech products and fitness, which ones are more gimmicky and which ones
right,
are actually legit?
I know. Well, that's where I'd say if you were really open to getting one of these, to do research, to go online and search the product and search it versus other things, that type of search that you can do. So it will give you product reviews.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just getting one-sided views and reviews for that product that they've paid people to put out there, making sure you're getting well-rounded recommendations and reviews about things is probably the best place to go. Unless you know a lot of people who own them and you've seen all sides of it. But if you've only know one person and they're loving it, that's not the only review you should go with.
Right, right.
There's more out there. So yeah, doing a lot of research before putting any money into anything is usually the best way to go.
Yeah.
Like we do with most things, right? For some reason with fitness equipment, we think, oh, we'll use it. I think it'll be a great investment, but yeah, do some research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's plenty of resources out there to find reviews, starting with Amazon. I mean, you can get
right,
a bunch of reviews there.
Yes.
What about this new tech product that goes on your wall, Tonal, and it has, you know, these resistance-style bands
right,
that you can
that
use?
One.
You know, that one's kind of a cutting-edge
system. I know.
What I know we haven't used it.
Never used
but
it.
But what do you see as like could be a good use of that?
I could see it could be a good use if you're someone who's well-versed in working out. You know what your levels are. You know how to work out, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know good form, how to engage the core, you know, all of the cues that I give. You're comfortable with that. You don't have any existing injuries. I think they could be great. I'm sure, you know, you see the commercials and of course it's these sports, now celebrity type people endorsing it that are doing these mega hard workouts, makes it more appealing. I get that for the commercial, but it makes me go, I don't know how I could use that because I don't know if I can do that.
Right.
So it makes you curious, as to how user-friendly it is, because it does look semi-difficult to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm sure there's a whole tutorial you go through when you first get it and set it up and figure out how to use it. But again, one of those that can be quite gimmicky, because can you get those same movements and results just from maybe using bands or a pair of dumbbells or a combination of the two during an at-home, in-home video workout for, I mean, talk about fraction of the cost of a piece of equipment. So, yeah, that one I could see could be very good for some people, maybe not for our community that we normally talk to.
Yeah. What are some of your final thoughts on the explosion of, and this is very close to us, videos on YouTube and places online
for
fitness? That's definitely part of this discussion.
It is. I mean, that's a part of technology, is being able to watch workouts on our computers and smart TVs. Stream them. I mean, we can watch them on our phones. We can be anywhere. We can go to the park. We can be in a hotel room. And we have a free workout we can always do. So, if anything, I will say that's the coolest part of what technology has brought. Being able to have full-on workouts on whether it's YouTube or an app of your choice suited for you. At your fingertips at all times. I think that's the best thing we could have created. And that really boomed, like we keep saying, you know, with COVID, it kept people moving. We didn't have to have a piece of equipment that we couldn't afford at the time, or we didn't have access to a gym, therefore we couldn't do anything. No, there was no excuse at that point. There are workouts to do right there in your home, from any piece of device that basically can turn on from your TV, your computer, or your phone. So, yeah, I think that's the best thing out of technology for fitness, especially for seniors. Because it is hard to leave the house sometimes, whether it be because of our mobility and functions, could be weather-related, could be due to illness, or we are nervous about getting ill by going out into communities during certain times. So you can stay in your home and even do workouts via Zoom, so you feel like you're part of a community, which is very important, keeping up with the social. Our live streams, making it seem like you're in a class, you know, with other people is always an amazing thing. And many other people, I'm sure, do that as well. So, a multitude of reasons why I will always say at-home workouts are the way to go and the best thing that technology has allowed. But it really is, not just because of Senior Fitness with Meredith, but for many, many reasons, for many, many people of all ages, too.
Yeah, and that's definitely, we saved the best for last.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been eye-opening for us to be involved with this YouTube space. And bring your content to people that really enjoy it, and it helps a lot of people out in the world. Definitely one of the best uses of technology today is being a part of this online community.
I agree.
In addition to, you know, everything else. So hopefully a lot of these tips that we had in this episode kind of help you out if you're trying to decide what tech items might be interesting to you. Do you want to incorporate these items into your exercises, or don't? You know, you don't have to. You definitely don't have to be have a smartwatch or have a fast running treadmill. You don't need any of that. But if you do decide to check it out, hopefully the tips in this podcast episode has helped you kind of on your journey towards making those decisions. So, well, thanks for joining us. Don't forget to swing by our website, seniorfitnesswithmeredith.com. Sign up for our newsletter. Get all of our latest and greatest content delivered to you every week. And until next time, we'll see you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody. Jared Sebesti, your host of Retire Repurposed. This podcast is dedicated to help people transition into fulfilling and purposeful retirements. Retirement is a big life change. In fact, the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they were born and the year they retire. Few people could just flip the switch from working a career 30 or 40 plus years, retiring on Friday, without methodical steps to living what we call a repurposed retirement. To listen now, search Retire Repurposed on your favorite podcast platform, Senior Resource, or Life Audio.